So before we begin the message for today, I will note that some of you are already half-dressed for a golf tournament and you're not signed up to play. If that's the case, you can still join us, and we would love that. We have some teams of three that we can add individuals to, and we have one more space for a full team if you want to put a, if you have a team or whatever that you want to do. If you don't, that's fine. I just wanted to throw that out there. Dave Segrist is playing with us, so you'll probably lose because Dave is going to just tear everybody up. That's what he told me the other day. So come ready to pummel Dave if you can. Let's pray, and then we'll start. Father, we thank you for this morning and the opportunity that we have to come together to engage with your word. God, we need you. We need your spirit. We need your power. We need your perspective. We need your word. We need your son. We are just in desperate need of you to guide us and to grow us, to change us, to cause us to be not the people that we naturally are in our brokenness, but the people who are redeemed by you, made whole by you. So we ask, Lord, one more time that you would work in our hearts and that you would change us as individuals, that you would change us as a group so that we, Father, would be men and women who are ambassadors for your son to bring that truth to the world around us. We do love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. I love memes. Okay, sometimes I love memes. You have to understand this about me. If I'm on Facebook, I expect one thing: to be entertained. I want to laugh at what you post. So if it's political, I'll just ignore it. If it's not funny, I will move on. But if it's humorous, I will enjoy it. I saw a meme the other day that had a review of the year 2020. It gave an up to 5-star review like you'd get on Amazon. And it had a 1-star review, and simply underneath it, it said, "Would not recommend." 2020 has been a year that we really would like to pretend didn't happen. We would really like to not recommend it to anybody. Maybe it didn't start out so bad. We started out in January like we start out every year, and it was cold. But that was pretty normal. And we were moving along, and we were doing things, and as a staff here at church, we were really excited for what was going on because we had our short-term small groups coming up in February, which we've done once before, and it's really intense 6-week time where groups get together a lot, and at the end we have a big party, and we share what Christ had been doing in our hearts and what he had done in the group during that time, and we got about 2/3 of the way through it, and everything shut down. And we weren't able to finish. That started the disappointments of 2020. March 15th was the last time that we were together in this room as a group. And then everything changed. Everything shifted. And we tried to do things differently. And it's worked. It's been a lot of work, but it's worked. But it's been disappointing. So then you move on through, and what's been true of my life has probably been true of yours as well. You had plans for the summer. You try to get through the winter because we all know that you live in Colorado for the winter. You live in Colorado for the mountains and the skiing. You do not live in Iowa for the winter. You simply try to get through it, right? So we all start making plans for May, June, July, August, and we're going to do stuff. And my wife's family and us, we were going to go to Myrtle Beach. We were all excited about it. And we didn't go. And we had to change plans. We had a wonderful time with them. We found something else to do. And actually, it was good because if you knew, the week we were supposed to be in Myrtle Beach, they had a little thing called a hurricane. So we were probably going to get kicked out of Myrtle Beach one way or another. But we ended up going somewhere else and doing something else. But it was disappointing to have to figure that out, disappointing to have to figure out how to make church function in a way that wasn't normal, disappointing to have your plans changed, disappointing to see all the fighting and infighting that's gone on social medias or in the news or in life in general. disappointing to see the violent riots, the anger, all of these things that we see around us. This has just been a disappointment. So what do we do? What do we do when we look at a year and we say, that was really, really disappointing? What do we do when we look at an individual day in life and we say, that did not go the way I wanted? That did not play out the way I had envisioned. And I'm disappointed because of it. We all have dreams and aspirations, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. What do we do when we're disappointed? But even more than that, and this is theologically inaccurate, emotionally true. I know that sounds weird. Theologically, scripturally, specifically, what I'm about to say is inaccurate because it shows a deep, deep misunderstanding from us as people. But emotionally, in who we are in the present time with our brokenness, this is true. Sometimes we're disappointed in God. And theologically, that's inaccurate because it shows that we don't understand that He's the one who has a plan and who's moving things forward, and He really is good. He really is loving. He really is almighty, and He really does want what's best for us. And so when we're disappointed in Him, it's kind of childish on our part because we presume to think that we know better for us than what God knows. And it shows a misunderstanding. But emotionally, it's still true. What do we do when we are disappointed with what God is doing? Disappointed in how He's interacting with life. Disappointed in Him. What do we do? Well, there's one side to that where we need to have better understanding, okay? Because if we really truly understand God, then we will not have that disappointment the same. We really understand that Ephesians 1:11 tells us that He works all things after the counsel of His will, and Romans 8:28 tells us that He is working in all things for our good. If we really understand those two components, there's not really a reason to be disappointed in Him. Confused, yeah, you could be confused. You cannot know what's happening, you cannot know where He's going, but disappointed in His character? No, not if you really understand Him. But in our brokenness, we still have that happen. So what do we do when we're disappointed in life? What do we do when we're disappointed in our friends or our spouse or our family? What do we do when we're disappointed possibly with God? In your bulletin, you're going to see something. We have sermon notes, but not the kind of sermon notes that maybe you're used to. We very intentionally and specifically have this as a sermon note. It's a blank sheet of paper with one question on the top, which is the question we would like for you to answer. And that question says this: how is the Holy Spirit calling you to change and be more like Christ? So in this topic for this day, have that out. And if you found 2020 to be a disappointing year, write down on there somewhere, sometime, what you should do, what it should look like for you to not be disappointed in this year. Because the truth is, you shouldn't be. That's a bold statement, I realize. But you and I should not be disappointed in this year because of who God is. Proverbs chapter 3 is where we are for the day. So if you want to open up to that, we're going to go ahead and read it. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 to 8, really 5 and 6, but 5 to 8 as a whole. Here's what it says. Trust in the Lord. And if you notice, Lord, there is all capital letters. And that's important, and it's important enough to stop and make a note of while we read it, because we read Lord and we just read Lord. But the word Lord with all capital letters is God's holy specific name, Yahweh. So this is not just trust in the Lord as a concept, but trust in Him as a being with character. Trust in the Lord, in Yahweh, with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And maybe that is why we become disappointed with a year, because we don't trust in the Lord with all our heart. We don't look at the character of God and say, that is what I trust. We find ourselves really trusting more in the symptoms of his character, which would be the circumstances around us, the things that play out and the way that they play out. And when they don't play out the way that we want, we start to question God's character because we don't truly trust him with all our heart. Our children do this as we grow, right? As they grow, as we raise them. When they're little and they can start to do stuff, they will trust us perfectly. I still remember, we've talked about this before, I remember Isaiah at like 2 years old standing on a diving board while I was in the water. The dude couldn't swim at all. And I said, hey, bud, jump. And he didn't hesitate. He wasn't afraid. He just, whoa! 10 feet deep or whatever it was, dies if I don't catch him. Not really, because I could swim down and get him. But without me there to get him, he can't survive this, but trusts me because I said, jump. Zariah trusts me in similar ways, but she doesn't always tell me when she's going to jump off the stairs. She just goes, hey, daddy. I'm like, no, I will catch you, but you need to let me know when this is going to happen. I really don't want to drop you. But their trust of me as a person in my character in this case, having told them I will catch you, their trust of me knows no limits. And that's what we're supposed to trust God like. When it says, trust the Lord with all your heart, with everything that you have, your being, your strength, everything, trust him. When things go wrong, trust him. Why? Because he's the one holding us up, taking us through this time, even leading us through this time or into this time. If you were to read the beginning of when Jesus goes out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, it starts out in the most theologically specific way that is really interesting. Do you know how it starts? And then Jesus was led by the Spirit, being the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was led into the wilderness to be tested and tempted. Meaning, he was put in a tough spot on purpose, so that his character would be shown and revealed. For us, our character would then be refined. But Jesus trusted the Lord with all his heart. And when the Spirit led him there to be tempted, he walked willingly into temptation. When it came time for Christ to die, he even asked God, is there any way I don't have to do this? The answer was obviously no. So he said, okay, not my will. It's not my desire. It's your will, your desire that will be accomplished. Why? Because he trusted God. No reason to be disappointed in the fact that he was about to die, because he trusted God. No reason to be disappointed that he was being led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, because he trusted God. And so when we go through this life and this time, when we become disappointed, it really shows our lack of trust in the one who guides us, the one who leads us, the one who is sovereign over coronaviruses and riots and anger and manipulation and elections and politics. We could be sad by things. That's different than disappointment. But to be disappointed in the character of God in that time, to be disappointed in what God's doing in that time, to be disappointed because of the temporal circumstances or temporary circumstances that we find ourselves in, that's foolish. It's childish. And it shows our lack of trust in the God who leads and guides and is sovereign over all. Trust in the Lord, in Yahweh, with all your heart, with all of who you are. And do not lean on what? Your own understanding. You know what's true? About almost every time somebody tells me they're disappointed in something, or even the way that we started this message, I'm disappointed that what I had planned for the year didn't happen. I'm disappointed that my desires didn't take place. Where's the focus on that? Absolutely on me. And what I could conjure up in my own mind for the way things are going to happen and play out. And then I'm disappointed that my mind didn't work, or the way that my mind had it laid out didn't happen. Let's pretend for a second that you have a terminal illness. Some of you do. Let's pretend that you went to the doctor for this terminal illness, and the doctor's reply was, "What do you think is wrong?" "Oh, let's treat that. Your stomach hurts. Pepto-Bismol. Turns out you've got a tumor." Okay, Pepto-Bismol is not going to help you, right? How silly would it be? How foolish would we be to walk into the doctor's office and tell him, "I've got a stomach pain. Please give me, I don't know, whatever they give you for stomach pains." Or maybe this will work better in our picturing minds. Let's pretend that you broke your leg badly. Isaiah broke his leg one time. It's called a spiral fracture. He got twisted and actually just took his bone and just twisted it until it snapped across and all the way down. It was 5 centimeters long. It was nasty. What if we got to the doctor and Isaiah said, "It hurts. I just want some pain medicine because I bumped my leg." And the doctor said, "Oh, yeah, we'll give you some pain medication." How foolish would that be? How foolish would it be for Isaiah to say, "It hurts. I want some pain medication because I have a bruise." And then to be angry at the doctor when the doctor says, "Well, the x-ray says your leg is broken." How silly would it be to be disappointed because the doctor showed you a different path, a different direction than what you were thinking? But friends, that's what we do to God. He knows what he's doing, as hard as it can be in this momentary time. And part of the reason this is so hard for us is that we kind of understand that our entire life is a moment in time for our existence, because we are eternal beings to exist forever. We have a start, we don't have an end, but we're temporary here on earth. If all of your years here on earth are fraught with trouble, it's still momentary. In the picture of the whole span of your existence, it's momentary, it's temporary. And we have a tendency to say, "My temporary troubles have me so weighed down that I don't know what to do." And I'm not making light of the issues of this life, because they're heavy and they're hard. But we must keep in mind that they are also temporary, no matter what they are. And so we come to God, and God says this in this part of the passage, and it's odd, right? It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." So don't think that you've got it figured out, because you're not as smart as you'd like to think. You're really not. I know I'm not. And I know how smart I'd like to think I am. But I'm not really that smart. "Trust in not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? Make your path straight." Now, it's the kind of phrase that's used to say sort of simple, right? He'll make your path simple. You won't have turns or whatever. That's not what's meant by this proverb. And it's important to remember that proverbs are proverbial. Do you know what that means? It means that it's not literal. It's imagery. He's going to make your path straight. He's going to make it known, right? You're going to know where you're going. Not that he doesn't have turns in your plan, or what we feel like are turns in the plan. But what we're seeing here is that God has a path for us to walk. And sometimes, friends, we don't think that we're on that path. So we're walking over here, and God moves us back to the path he wants us to be on. And we're disappointed in life when God changes our path. But really, friends, he's just putting us where we're supposed to be as we follow him. Why should that be disappointing? You lose your job. But if God has a different direction for you, why is that so disappointing? You get old. We all get old. Some of you more old than others. But we get old, and we can't do what we used to do, and it's disappointing. But you know what? God has something different for you. Why be disappointed when he has something better or further down the path than what you had before? But that's how we function. We get disappointed because our circumstances change. But really, God is just pointing us further down the path than we were before. Every time I skied in the mountains, one thing was true. You'd start going down a hill, and you couldn't get back to where you just were. You had to continue down where you were currently at. Now, you could take the lift and go back to the top. I realize that. But as you're going down the hill, as you go down, you can't say, oh, I liked it back there. Doesn't matter if you liked it back there. You're now here. If you don't pay attention, you're going to fall off the side of the mountain or run into a tree or run into moguls, which are the worst thing. But that's what we get. And God is pointing us down this hill, down this path, and we find ourselves disappointed because it's not going the way we had pictured. It's not going the way that it used to be. But you know what? What it used to be isn't what it's supposed to be now. What you had figured out isn't necessarily the best. So the author tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust his character. You won't find yourself disappointed in him. Don't lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Because the more that we think we've got it figured out, the more we will find that we are truly disappointed in life. Because we don't have it figured out. We can't have it figured out. Friends, we don't know the future, right? Seems like a pretty simple statement. But we make our plans as though we already know what must happen in order to accomplish something else. Sometimes we're right. God didn't make us stupid. But we're not always right. So don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Trust him. Fear the fact that the reality that he has a plan figured out. If you do that, if you take the focus off of you, and you put the focus on him, that will be healing to your bones, refreshment, or healing to your flesh, and refreshment to your bones. Not saying that he's going to heal you of maladies or illnesses in life. That's not what he's saying. But it will refresh you when you take the focus off of you, feeling like you've got to have all of this figured out in order to make life happen the way it should. And instead we say, no, I trust God to work us through life. I trust him when he changes paths on me, or when I feel like he's changed paths on me, I trust him to take me where I'm supposed to go. Then, when the coronavirus of 2020 hits and we all get stuck in our houses for months at a time, we can say, boy, I don't like this. That's not my preference, but... And it's okay. The Bible is okay. You read the Psalms, you see this pattern. The psalmist, whether it's David or somebody else, says, I was frustrated or disappointed or angry, but God did this, and I trust that God. And if that's where we move in this, I didn't like, as a people person like me, as an extrovert, it was really hard to be stuck in my house for several months, to feel like I couldn't get together with friends except for on this pretend virtual system. That was really hard for me. Ask my wife. But the reality is, I could trust in God, knowing that even though it wasn't my preference, he was the one guiding us through it. So when those things happen, we trust his character and we trust his plan. when those things happen, we don't rely on our own way of saying, oh no, I know what I need. I can figure it out for myself. And we say, no, I trust him. I'll fear him. I'm not going to be wise in my own eyes. And when we take that focus off of us and we trust it onto him, then Jesus says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Why? Because he takes the weight of that from us and carries it himself. And then when we trust him, we don't have that burdening us and burying us under its weight. So if you're disappointed in 2020, maybe we should start like this. As individuals, we should trust Yahweh with all our heart, the core of who we are, and we should not lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, all of them, not some of them, in all of our ways, in all of our things, in all of our words, in all of our actions, we acknowledge him. And he will make our path straight. He will point it out. He will guide us. We should not be wise in our own eyes. We should fear the Lord and turn from evil. Then that will be healing to our flesh. It will be refreshment to our bones. Because we won't carry the weight of that which we were not designed to carry. I don't know how that exactly plays out for you, because each individual in this room, each family in this room has different weights and burdens right now, different things going on. But in that circumstance, in that reality, trust God to guide you through it, not to make you understand it. Remember we said, you could be confused by it. It's not to understand it. It's to trust him in it. And then you have no reason to be disappointed. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your son. We thank you for your character. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. God, we ask that you would continue to challenge our hearts to trust you and know you. To would cause us to put our faith and our trust more and more in you. And God, we ask that you would, we ask, Father, that you would work in us as individuals, as well as us as a group, to cause us to trust you more, to cause us to know you more. God, this has been, in one sense, it's been a disappointing, hard year. And it's not necessarily over. So we pray that in our disappointment, you would cause us to trust. We pray that in our disappointment, you would cause us to rely on you. That you would cause us to fear you and to turn to you. Use your spirit, Lord, to challenge us and change us. Cause us to turn always to you. We do love you, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
As we learn to